Very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Shkalim Daf Zayin, Shkalim 7a, pagination page 13. The Mishnah in the middle of the page deals with the question of Moser, leftover money of a particular collection. If there was leftover money for captives, what do you do with it? If there was leftover money for poor people, a collection that was done, what do you do with extra money? And then the Mishnah addresses the question, Mosar HaMesim, what do you do with leftover money that was collected for people who had died, and we collected money for the burial, and there's extra money. What do you do with the extra money? So there's a machlokes, but one of the suggestions, which I'd like to spend the time on today, is at the end of the Mishnah. The ruling of Rabbi Nosson is Mosar HaMeis, the leftover money that was collected for the dead person, Bonin Lo Nefesh Al Kivro, you build a monument on the burial site. Which prompts the Gemara about 10 lines later, at the end of a line, Tani Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, to tell us the words of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Ein osin nefashos la tzadikim, don't build monuments for tzadikim, divreyem hein hein zichronam, their words of Torah that are repeated by the students for generations, that's the way we remember them. Don't remember them through a building, a monument. Remember them through their Torah. The Mefarshim say that even though it's quoted and the Rambam quotes it as such, as if we don't make monuments for tzaddikim, certainly a nominal marker is appropriate, but to make a grand expression of who the person is, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel saying is that that's misguided. That's not really where his memory is. That's not where his essence is. His essence is to perpetuate what he represented. If you have a choice, make a beautiful monument or build a yeshiva, there's no question. Continue the legacy of the great person. Just as an aside, it's to a certain extent the reluctance that we have in memorializing the Holocaust through Holocaust memorials. It needs to be done. It's its own mitzvah to remember, to pay tribute, etc. But there's a certain degree of reluctance where, to a certain extent, we would rather just focus on building and perpetuating the legacy of the Jewish people rather than turning around and memorializing. So there's definitely a balance. And in the case of the Holocaust, it's extremely delicate because there is so much to learn and so much to memorialize and so much to learn from. But at the same time, we have to be forward-faced in terms of building and learning the lessons and building through them instead of, chas v'shalom, getting stuck in the sadness. Now the Gemara continues and tells us a story about Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan have a mismach va'ozal al Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Rabbi Yechanan was going v'haya Rabbi Eliezer chamilei, and Rabbi Eliezer was there umetamer lemikamei, but he was hiding from him. Art scroll research indicates that it's Rabbi Elazar ben Pidos, this Rabbi Elazar. V'omar, and Rabbi Yechanan said that he has a problem with Rabbi Elazar. He has a complaint. Even though Rabbi Elazar was his Talmud, or because Rabbi Elazar was Talmud, they were close, that he knew him, but he had a complaint. Halein tarti milayu hadein bavla ovid bey. There are two things he did that I don't approve of. I'm upset with him. Choda de lo shoil bishlomei. One, that he doesn't greet me. V'choda mitamer, and also that he's hiding. He doesn't acknowledge my presence, and Rabbi Yechanan expected the Talmud to acknowledge his presence and to say hello. Amale Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi tries to make it good, and he tells Rabbi Yechanan, Kach Nehigen Gabhon, that is the custom among them, meaning people who originate from Bavel. Does the Iro Lo Shor Bishlamei Derabo, the smaller one doesn't greet the greater one. That's their custom. They consider it disrespectful. There's an awe, there's a reverence. They don't just come up and say, hi, how you doing? And therefore he didn't greet you, but don't take it personally. It's not an expression of disrespect. Skip a line and you'll see how Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi tries to bring this point across. Amaluhu, he asks Rabbi Yechanan Ashayla, Mau lemever kamei du'ud ratzalmi. What is the rule? Are you allowed to pass by a certain idol? You're allowed to walk in front of the idol. Amalei, Rabbi Yechanan said, Mat poligle yekar. What are you trying to do? Accord the idol some honor by not passing in front of it as if you're fearful of it. Avar kamoi, pass in front of it. No big deal. Samei noi, it's not a big deal. Just pass in front of it. It's an idol after all. It's nothing. Amalei, so Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi said, this is my point. Yos Rabbi Elazar Ovid, so it's good what Rabbi Elazar did. Delo avar kamoch, he didn't come in front of you. Because this is your point. If it's a nothing, you pass in front of it. No big deal, no fear, no reverence. But if it would be someone that I have fear and reverence of, then certainly we would stand in respect and we wouldn't just come over. And therefore, it's understandable why he didn't greet you and kind of made himself scarce because he has respect for you. Rabbi Yechanan continues and says, "Ve'od Ovid Habavala'a, I also have another complaint against this Babylonian, this Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, that he doesn't say things in my name. When he says Torah over, he doesn't say, and I heard this from Rabbi Yechanan." So Rabbi Yechanan was hurt. If he's saying over my Torah, he should be saying it in my name. And perhaps all of these things altogether, he was getting the impression that Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas was going for a free ride and didn't respect him. And Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi is trying to make it good, and he's saying, no, on the contrary, he respects you. So let's see how Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi responds to this complaint. Let's turn the page. We're on the fourth line at the end of a line. Nichnas lefan of Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi tried to explain, why is it that Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas is not quoting in your name when he says your Torah? Omalek siv. Kasha tziva Hashem es Moshe avdo, kein tziva Moshe es Yoshua. Yoshua was the legacy, was the continuation of Moshe. He received his Torah from Moshe. Do you think that Yoshua, every time he said something, he would say, oh, so this is what Moshe taught. Okay, so this is what Moshe taught. Ela Yoshua Yoshev Vidoresh, Yoshua would sit and he would darshan, he would teach Torah. V'yodim HaKosha, Torah Shal Moshe Hi. And everybody knows that it's the Torah of Moshe because that was his Rebbe Muvhok. That was his Rebbe. His Rebbe was Moshe. Afata, you also. Eliezer Yoshev Vidoresh. Eliezer says over the Torah. V'alko Yodim Shal Torah Shal Chahi. Everybody knows that it's your Torah. He's a Talmud Muvhok of yours because he's so close. Because he has so much respect, this is Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi's approach. Because the relationship is so good, that's why you're noticing these behaviors. Amalohen, so Rabbi Yochanan responded, Mepnei Mayin Atan Yodim L'Ratzos Kiven Idi Chaveireinu, why can't anybody else speak nicely like Ben Idi, like Rabbi Yaakov Ben Idi? He was stunned by the new perspective, and Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi was able to make shalom, was able to make it good. Rabbi Yechanan Maiku Lehai. The Gemara asks, what was Rabbi Yechanan's big concern? Why was he so interested that Rabbi Elazar should say things in his name? And the Gemara explains, Da'af David bikeshel arachmim. David also davened like this. The next line, Agura va'ol cha olamim. He wanted to dwell in Hashem's tent forever. Look at the next line. V'chi also adaiter shel David. Did David really think he's going to stay in Hashem's tent forever? He's going to live forever? But rather, David was saying in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was davening, that his words of Torah should live on forever in shuls and yeshivas. Shimon ben Izira b'shem Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, and this was developed in the Gemara, called Talmud Chacham shamidvar alacha mipiv ba'olam hazeh, anybody who they say Torah from him in this world, sifso savrocha shos imo bekeveretz, as if his lips continue to move in the grave, as the pasuk says, dovev sifse yeshenim, it moves the lips of those who sleep, meaning those who have passed on. And therefore, the original statement that we had in the Gemara from Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, that you don't make grand monuments for tzaddikim, on the contrary, their legacy, their words of Torah, that is their way, that is the way that we remember them. Now, the question is, yes, in certain segments of the Jewish people, the custom is to keep the tombstone simple, even for the tzaddikim, or according to our Gemara, it would be actually especially for the tzaddikim, not to take your extra resources and build for the tzaddikim a gravestone. That's not where the extra resources should be placed. But we do know that some segments of the Jewish world, they actually do build grand tziyunim, monuments, at the site of the grave. And the Mefarshim explain that those are not because the tzaddik needs them. As far as the tzaddik, zuchusim, etc., we really would spend time on his Torah, but it is because the people who come to the gravesite, they want a way, firstly, to express themselves and to put themselves in the right mind frame. So at the place of the grave, we make a tombstone, we make a expression of the chavivus, in the words of Reb Moshe, the endearment, and Masha Nechzar Ba'olam Bepetiraso, acknowledging what was lost through their passing. If there's a larger area, so that's really for the convenience, you like making a base medrash at the place of the grave. But in terms of the tombstone declaring the greatness of the person, it's really lekavod. It's a tzorech hachayim. It's a need of the living people to do that, so that we could acknowledge what was lost. Yeshe Koach, thank you for joining.